topic about how to tell what your function is in the body. And I called it God Loves Diversity. Because the way he designed the world, he made every snowflake different, every flower different. Everything you look at, there is such variety and beauty in it that you can't help but come to the conclusion that he would love that different thing. And so same thing with people. If we even just look around the room, we see such variety in our facial features and how we speak and all kinds of wonderful things. And if you just get that, we can just get that in our mind, that just like we have the same spirit, the same Christ, now we also are particulars. And God loves the particulars. He loves the diverse kinds of things that make us all unique. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 3 and start in verse 7. It says, of the which of the gospel I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, who am less, King James, less than the least, right? who am the least of all the holy ones, this grace was given that I should declare among the Gentiles the wealth of Christ. Christ, remember? The full measure of the Spirit. Every time you read the word Christ now, you can substitute that full measure of the Spirit. I should declare among the Gentiles the wealth of Christ that is untraceable, and that I should bring light to everyone what is the administration of the mystery which was hidden from the ages in God who created all things, so that by way of the church, the extraordinary wisdom of God would be made known to the rulers and to the authorities that are in heaven, which wisdom he prepared from the ages and has performed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, this wisdom, this extraordinary wisdom of God. If you have one of my translations, in here I mark all these really unique idioms. And when you see an outline type, where the type is in fuzzy letters, it means it's an idiom. And you can go in the front and see what the idiom is all about, this big chart. But this idiom right here means full of distinction. So God's wisdom is full of distinction. In other words, it's not ordinary. Remember Gino's song, I'm not ordinary anymore. I am extraordinary. I am full of distinctions. There are things, you know, sometimes we look at ourselves and think, oh, how could anybody like me? I'm so weird. I mean, my sense of humor is really dorky. You know, you're going to get this whole time here. see what it's really all about. But that's a distinction, you know. I know other people who can get up and they just make you laugh like crazy. And when I first started teaching, I used to try to make jokes. Oh, it was so bad. Because everyone, really, every time I tried to make a joke, they would just groan. Like, oh, no, just stop doing that, please. So I, you know, figured this is what you get. But there's distinctions. And, you know, every flower, and God rejoices over the variety. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Even in one family, you see all the unique characteristics, depending on which child, you know. And then the broader family you get, like, you know, I'm not very similar to in appearance to my sister. I'm quite a bit taller, and she's a little shorter, and she's got really blonde hair, and I don't, and things like that, you know. I was thinking this morning when I was trying to do my hair, you know, like, you look in the mirror and go, gosh, how come I didn't have curly hair? What? This would be so much easier, you know? But then somebody who has curly hair is looking in the mirror going, doesn't, you know, where's the straightener? Where is the thing that will make it straight? So when you think about how God loves diversity, you think about how he loves us exactly like we are. He doesn't want us to be any different in our characteristics. 1 Peter 4, verse 10, and every one of you should minister the gift that he received from God to his friends as good stewards of the diverse grace of God. So not only are we different, you know, in our characteristics where there's distinction, but there's also diverse grace of God. Sometimes, like, there are uses where we look at the verse and we say, everybody's saved by grace. Okay, that's the same grace. But many of the uses of the word grace have to do with your individual believing, how God energizes it, it's poured out in a unique way, and it's God's ability working in you. That's a really good definition of grace, is God's ability working in you. And you're a unique person. So it's going to be different how it works in you, Heidi, versus how it works in Trish. God loves that. So now we get to go to Romans chapter 12, because that's the focus of this particular teaching. Romans 12, and I wrote out the whole thing on your paper so that you could see it. Romans 12. This is the major section of the epistles that talk about our function. So we'll read the whole thing through first, just so you get the flavor of it. Verse 3. Now I say by the grace that was given to me for all of you. Right there, you see Paul has this specific grace that's given to him, right? You should not think outside of what is right to think, but everyone should think soberly, according to faith in the measure that God has distributed to him. We all have the full measure, right? But we have specific believing of how to operate that. And that's unique. And then God energizes with grace our uniqueness. For as in the one body, we have many members, and all members do not have one function. So also, we who are many are one body in Christ. So there we have it again. We who are many are really one. And each one of us are members of each other. But we have various gifts according to the grace that is given to us. And then it goes on to list all the different things that we're going to be talking about here. So, you go back to verse 6, and it says, we have various gifts according to the grace that is given to us. So we've already been talking about the grace part. But right here, this word gifts, we have diverse gifts. We have distinctive gifts. Okay, that's not talking about the gift of Holy Spirit, right? Because that's the same. So that couldn't be something that's distinctive. What it's talking about here, this word gifts, is more like presents. You know, do you like Christmas? Or birthdays? You know, it was my husband's birthday the other day, so, you know, I couldn't wait to give him his presents. He comes sneaking up behind him and says, I got them for you, right? It's something you want to give to another person. And so all of these things that it's talking about here in Romans 12 are presents. They're presents from one person to another, and they're energized by God's grace. The word back in verse 4, where it says, all members do not have one function. that word function in King James, I think it's office, right? Isn't it office? Okay, the word function there would be better. Here's some definitions. Words, deeds, business, affairs, acts, opportunities. You could also translate it office. The real simple way to understand it is that we all work for the same company. You know, God is the owner, Jesus Christ is the CEO, and we are all employees, but we have different jobs. So you could translate it job. We don't all have the same job. It would be funny, you know, everybody would be up here all trying to teach all at the same time, you know, it doesn't work, right? Or when the Donaldo sings, you know, we go, no, but I'm going to sing too. Really, you know, nobody can sing like him, right? Not very many. So we have different jobs, but the same grace, all right? The same gift of grace. All right. Now, we're going to look at these six, there are seven things in here. There are seven functions that are being described. And in my book, I show the picture of the cells. And you have it down on the bottom there. There's just some small pictures of different types of cells. And these seven things in Romans actually line up with the seven basic kinds of cells in the physical body. There's nerve cells, there's bone cells, connective cells, there's epithelial cells, there's fat cells. Oh, no. Fat cells. Yes, they are very important. You will see in a minute. Okay, nerve cells. We have muscle cells. All right, so when we're talking about these functions, I'm just going to compare it to the muscle or to the type of cell, and then you can go and read more in the book, too. See how they all work. I'm not going to try to explain all the biology today because we don't have time. But what I did want to do is I want to show you some few examples in the Word, in the book of Acts, and in the epistles of people that had these functions. And then I want to just like tell you briefly about people I know who have these functions. Okay, so the first one is there is a giving of prophecy according to the measure of his faith. It takes faith to operate, to become a presence. All right, but this function is called prophesying. This is probably one of the most difficult ones to understand. But when you see the picture, you'll see the picture of the cell, you'll understand it, because it's the connective cells. And connective cells make up all your bones, the ligaments, all the, like even parts of your nose. They're connected. They are what connect the body together. If you didn't have ligaments, for example, your body would just be a big pile of bones on the floor. You know, the ligaments hold it together, and then the muscles help fill it all out. But if you see a skeleton, like you see the skeleton in the middle of the picture of the book, you know, you see the bones. What holds them together, you know, is connective cells. And how this fits spiritually is that prophesying is basically inspired delivery of exhortation or preaching. Another word could be preaching. And what preaching does is it builds connections with people so that they can stand. You couldn't stand without the ligaments. You couldn't stand without the framework that all the other cells get put into, which is your bone structure. And what prophesying does is it causes you to stand. It encourages you and focuses your attention on something so that you can stand. If you want to do a really great study, you can study the word preach, because that's what it's talking about. And in Aramaic, the word picture for preach actually has to do with the hope. So the best preaching is always about bringing people back to the hope. That's what causes you to stand the most, is the hope. But now look at Titus chapter 1, because Titus is a really great example of a preacher and an exhorter. And you'll see, if you read the whole book of Titus, you'll see that probably of more than any other book, it uses exhort all the way through the whole thing. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. And be diligent concerning the teaching of the word of faith, so that he may be able to encourage by his sound teaching and to reprove those who are called. Exhort by sound doctrine, right? Exhort. Change the word exhort. Erase and put preach. Okay? In chapter 2, verse 1. But you speak what is suitable to sound teaching, and teach the elders that they should be watchful in their minds, and should be sober, and should be pure, should be sound in the faith, and in love, and in patience. Just telling Titus the things that he should exhort or preach to the people. Let's see, goes on in verse 6. Request those who are young to be sober. How about verse 15? Speak those things and entreat and reprove with all authority, and let no one despise you. So sometimes it's stress that we entreat. Sometimes it's, you know, speak this, encourage. There's lots of different aspects of preaching. But they all have to do with building someone up so that they can stand. Now, what happened to Titus, if you look at 2 Corinthians, just briefly here, 2 Corinthians and chapter 7, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 5, Paul sends Titus to Macedonia into Philippi, which we're going to read about later this afternoon. But he exhorts him, Paul exhorts Titus to exhort the people in Macedonia about giving. In Corinth, about giving. And so, chapter 7, let's see, verse 5. Okay. For even after we came to the Macedonians, we had no rest for our body, but we were pressured in everything, from without conflict and from within fear. But God, who comforts the meek, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the rest with which he was refreshed by you. For he told us about your love and about your grief and about your zeal for us. And when I heard it, my joy was great. Titus had gone to the Corinthians, had exhorted them about giving, you know, and then you can read all about that in chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians. But then when he came back to Paul, he told the report, well, this is what I did, and this is what their reaction was. And Paul was kind of like, oh, that is so great. Look at how everybody came together. I have a personal friend who is right now working with someone about their finances and doing this very similar thing. You know, the person who's had the need just needed to, you know, have a budget and work things through and figure out how they were going to pay their bills and things. And so this young lady just sits down with them and, okay, let's go over it. And now, remember, God is faithful. He's going to meet all your needs. And she's just like really pouring the word into it. And there has been a dramatic change because of the exhortation. So those are just a little bit example of prophecy. And I spent a little bit more time on that one because it's harder to see. Okay, the next one is back. You kind of got to keep your finger in Romans 12, I guess. Romans 12. The next one is ministering. There is a giving of ministering. One has in his ministry. Okay, when you see that word giving in there, you're supposed to put the whole grace. Giving according to the grace that is in us. Okay, but it's just giving because it's too long to have to put the whole grace in over and over and over and over again. But the reason it's over and over and over again in there is so that you'll remember all of these functions are always giving according to the grace that is given to us. All right? So ministering. Ministering, if you look on your paper, you can see some definitions there. Doing, attending, working, serving, and they're like muscle cells. Now muscle cells, there's two basic kinds, either smooth ones, like those long skinny ones on there, or more fat ones. And some pull and some push. So some contract and some expand. You know, when your arm moves like this, they're opposites, and they're in pairs. So working and serving is like that. It's some push, some pull, some do this, some do that, and often you need pairs. You need people to work together to serve, to minister. They meet particular needs. An example that you may be familiar with is when John Mark travels with Barnabas and Paul, and he ministers to them. Now, just a side note here, we use the term minister really loosely. And I think, actually, to be more accurate and to be able to present a more clear picture, we should use the term function when we're talking about people in the body. And when we're talking about ministering, we should be specifically talking about that function of serving. And a good way to remember ministering is just somebody who when you ask them to do something or there's a need to do something, they just go, "Yes, I'll do it. Yes, I will. What is it you need? You know, do you need the chairs moved? Do you need, you know, water? I'll do it." It's just saying yes. And I'm sure that you know people like that, where you can call on them. There's nothing that's too hard, you know, or that they go, "Oh, I can't do that." They're always there. "Call on me. Yeah, I'll do it. Come on, call on me. I'll do it." I love that. So here's Colossians chapter 4. A lot of the people in the book of Acts and in the epistles, we don't know that much about them. But I just see these guys in here were this kind of minister where they were just saying yes to whatever needed to be done. Verse 7. "Now what concerns me, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant," servant is the word minister, "in the Lord, and he will make known to you. I have sent him to you for this reason, that he would know what concerns you and would comfort your hearts." That's a different, this comfort here is more like the exhortation. Okay? "With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they will make known to you what concerns me. Aristarchus, a captive with me, greets you. And Mark, the cousin or could be nephew of Barnabas, concerning whom you received commandment that if he came to you, you should receive him. And Jesus, who is called Justice." Did you know somebody else was called Jesus in the Bible?
No.
"These are from the circumcision, and they only have assisted me in the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me." So he's saying that what happened when you needed a job done and somebody said yes, it became a comfort to the person who needed the job. And all these guys, Tychicus, Aristarchus, they spent time with Paul, they traveled with him, they did things for him, and they were serving him. Okay, now we're at number 3. is teaching. And teaching is like the red blood cells. And teaching is probably one of the easiest ones to see. But the red blood cells, they travel all around the body all the time. They're doing all these things. And they're always speaking. What are the things here? Developing, growing, circulating, imparting, communicating. Excuse me. So, and they're often more visible, people that do teaching. So they're easy to see. Excuse me. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 18, we have Apollos and Priscilla and Aquila. I think I might need one of those to cover my. Sorry. Trying to. Thank you. Okay, in Acts chapter 18, verse 24. And there was a certain man whose name was Apollos, a Judean who was a native of Alexandria, and he was trained in speech and observant in the scriptures. He came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord and was spiritually fervent and was speaking and teaching fully about Jesus while not knowing anything except the baptism of John. So when he came to Ephesus, there were two guys, Priscilla and Aquila, and they came and they told him more about what he should be teaching about. So he talked to him about Jesus Christ. Thank you. I'm sorry. That's better. There's a guy in Northern California, who I know, and he always writes me, he's writing me quite often anyway. What about this verse? I really want to know about that. See, in Aramaic, the word for teacher actually means a learner first. So you can see someone function as this when they've got 1,000 questions and they are always wanting to learn. And then it just naturally spills over into sharing it and disseminating it and trying to tell other people about things. They learn first and then they got a release somehow. So I remember there was a wonderful time where I was at the Way International in Ohio, and during my first year in the Way Corps, everybody was going around saying, Ephesians is the greatest revelation to the church. Ephesians is the greatest revelation to the church. And I went like, I don't know anything about the book of Ephesians. And I told God, it was like a cry of my heart. I was like, I really want to know the book of Ephesians. So that following year, I got to do my research paper on it, and I got to teach with someone who basically gave me all their notes. I spent the whole next year learning the book of Ephesians, and it started a lifetime, you know, love for the whole book. So God will answer the cry of our hearts, you know. He knows our distinctions, and he knows what it is that we need to do and want to do, and so he'll put opportunities in front of us to function like that. Okay, number four, these are the epithelial cells. This is called comforting. And comforting is different than exhortation. Let's see how it says it here. There's a giving of a teacher in his teaching, and there's a giving of a comforter in his comforting. Okay, so you know, what is this comforting? And it has also to do with words, and because exhorting, prophesying has to do with words, but it also is about how you speak, and it speaks soothingly or consoling, comforting, encouraging, What are some of the other words on your paper there?
Strengthening.
Yeah. And when you understand what the epithelial cells are, then you see the picture perfectly. Because epithelial cells, they line all of the organs of the body, like your stomach, all the intestines, and they're also all your whole skin is made up of epithelial cells. And I found this really great definition of a verse in 2 Timothy. Look at 2 Timothy. It's talking about a guy named Onesiphorus. 2 Timothy 1, verse 16. It says, May our Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, who refreshed me many times and was not ashamed of the chains of my bonds. When someone does this kind of speaking soothingly, what it does is it brings refreshment. And this word refresh means to cool again or recover from the effects of heat. Like what your skin does. If we're outside and it's way too hot, we start sweating. You know, our skin it breathes. And it refreshes your physical body. That is the effect of someone who functions like this. And another way that you could, another word that you could put on this particular word for comfort is diffuse. Like it diffuses hurt, diffuses pain, diffuses things that are going on in someone's life where they just need someone to be there and give that encouraging word and to soothe and to cover over, you know, with kindness, those kinds of things like that. Offer acceptance, care, consoling, or protection. And the example of someone that I know personally is she just she loves to have young women come to her home. She's about my age, single, but she will have all kinds of young women come to spend time with her, and people just love it. They, because she teaches them how to teach. She's caring for them. She listens to their woes and their problems, and I just thought, well, that's just a really, really great example of someone who functions like this. Okay, are you enjoying this? All right, we have three more. And I left the paper open here.
The next one, these three
are giving, leading, or showing, and showing mercy. And they have qualifications on them. So we're supposed to do giving with generosity, leading with diligence, and showing mercy with cheerfulness. Now, first one we'll look at is giving them. Giving are like fat cells. The way fat cells are supposed to be. Because fat cells actually are really big storage areas for everything good that your body needs. It needs glucose, it needs, you know, just all these different things that get stored in the fat cells. And what's supposed to happen with fat cells is that when your body needs something, it should release the good stuff that is stored up. Now, what happens when you get bigger and bigger is that those fat cells decide that they're going to hold on to what they have.
I'm not going to give you anything.
And so, you know, you start multiplying because they just end up being big storage depots instead of giving depots, which is what they're supposed to be. You know, hospitality, people that are just so giving, where they open their home all the time, they do things for people on an ongoing basis, is this type of function. But the other part of the function is where they actually see the needs. They see people that have needs. And that's what fat cells are supposed to do, is where They are ready all the time to release something that someone needs. Lydia, Acts chapter 16, we're going to read about Lydia this afternoon too. But when Paul first went to Philippi, he met this lady named Lydia. And the first thing that she does in verse 13 is when she finds out that he's a traveler and he and Silas need a place to stay, verse 13 says, "And we went out on the day of the Sabbath outside of the gate of the city by the edge of the river, because a house of prayer was seen there. And after we were seated, we were speaking with the women who were gathered there. And a certain woman, a seller of purple cloth, who feared God, was there. Her name was Lydia, from the city of Thyatira. And our Lord opened the heart of this woman, and she heard what Paul said. And she was baptized, she and her household. And she begged us and was saying, 'If you are truly confident that I believe in our Lord, come and lodge in my house.' And she constrained us much." So she got left with hearing the gospel from Paul and believed and was so excited about it, but she immediately saw this need. She's like, "Oh, come, you know, come to my house. I'll take care of you, I'll feed you, I'll do whatever you need." And that's this kind of a cell. When I was first studying about cells, I like the way the nerve cells are. They have these beautiful little dangly things, and they're called dendrites, and they connect with other cells. And I was looking at the pictures of the cells, and, "Oh, I want to be a nerve cell. It's so pretty." And I looked at the fat cells, and they're just, they're pretty much very nondescript. And I don't want to be a fat cell. I don't think I really want to be a fat cell. But now that I know what the function is, I'm like, "I want to be a fat cell, please." Okay, the next one is leading, and those are the nerve cells, and you can understand that. Romans chapter 16, there's a whole list of people here again, and they all are leaders in their home fellowships, so it's kind of fun to read this. Chapter 16, verse 1. "Now I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a minister of the Church of Cenchrea, that you should receive her in our Lord as it is just for holy ones, and you should assist her in every matter that she asks of you, because she has been an assistant both to many and also to me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, workers with me in Jesus Christ, because these same ones risked their necks for my life. And not only I am thankful for them, but all the churches of the Gentiles are thankful. And greet the church that is in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first fruit of Achaia. And greet Mary, who has toiled much among you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my brothers, who were captives with me and are known by the apostles." Anyway, it goes on and on and on and on. About the list of names. And the biggest thing that I see in here, that all these people were leaders in some way. And all a leader is someone who stands before or guides the way. It's like they are willing to take you by the hand and say, "Let's go." There's other terms that are described in the word, like helps and government and leading. And it just says that you should be a leader with diligence. And that means that you shouldn't take it lightly. If this is your function and you really do well, like I know people that are really good at organizing. Trish is fabulous at organizing. I have these zillion files all over the place, and she just comes and she just goes, "Okay, put this here and this here and that there." I'm like, "How did you?" I'm doing good if I get it in the folder. Let alone put a label on it and call it something and put it in the file cabinet. It just, somehow, they just never get in the file cabinet, I don't know, maybe that's just the way my brain works, but hers it's just very, very organized, and it works really, really well. So, a leader also has ideas, vision, organizes things, and that's how where you see the nerve cells, because nerve cells stimulate stuff. Like if there's a nerve cell right here on your muscle, your brain tells the nerve cell, move, you should move. You know what? You should move. Okay. Right? It's a lot faster than that. It's like so split seconds between your brain and the nerve cell that we aren't even conscious of it. That's how wonderful the body of Christ works too with the head, is that often we are not conscious of that stimulation where it just goes, go here. See this. This is the direction. Here we go. And it's all done by this whole series of electromagnetic communication that happens in the nerve cell. Alright, the last one is showing mercy. And those are the glandular and white cells. And the lymphatic tissue is part of this. Now these are the kind of people who you can always depend on to pray for you. Who come and who visit you, who take care of you when you're sick, who are showing mercy. Epaphras is a really good example of this in the book of Colossians. Epaphras was from Colossae, and he traveled with Paul too. When Paul was in prison, he came to minister to him when he was in prison. And so then he greets the Colossians with Paul. In chapter 4, verse 12, it says, Epaphras greets you, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, laboring at all times for you in prayer, that you may stand, mature ones and complete ones, in all the will of God. For I witness about him that he has great zeal for you and for those who are in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. And then it goes on and talks about other people there. But what Epaphras did was it says he labored at all times for you in prayer. And when you see this function, you see it says showing mercy with cheerfulness. So the labor is not like, oh my gosh, I've got to pray for this person. You know, they never seem to get it together. I just don't understand. Not that kind of prayer. It's where your heart, your compassion is just like overflowing all the time, you know, with what do they need? What could I pray for? How could I put this? How could I do something? What can I do? And just like the one who is volunteering to do service where you go, yes, this function too is always looking. Who has a need? Where can I be? What can I pray for? How can I help? And the type of activity is unique to what that person is good at. And I asked Barb if I could use her as an example, but she is a really great example of this showing mercy. Because there's nothing that she won't tackle if someone has a need. And she's there for people. And you know that, you that know her. And I know in a lot of these other functions, if I knew you personally, I could show that you each do one or two or more. Now, here's the thing that I want to leave you with. You have to remember that all of these functions are according to the grace that is given. Okay? That's the most important thing. It's not important exactly what the function is. The reason I wrote this book and I showed that the things with the cells is just so that you can understand the functions and what they do. But the illustration of the comparison with the physical body breaks down because people are not exactly like cells. A cell, like a glandular cell, is always going to be a glandular cell. No, a white cell is always a white cell. They don't transform into an epithelial cell. But people can do all of these functions. And so again, it's like your desire to serve and to minister in the body of Christ, then you get opportunities and God pours out his grace in lots of different situations. I used to like going to hospitals, for example, and yet in the last years, couple of years, there have been several different situations that required, you know, pretty intense time of going to the hospital, and I just never thought I would be very good at doing that, you know. I didn't have the patience for it. I couldn't picture myself sitting, you know, holding someone's hand through a really severe sickness. And yet, I was thrust into that situation, and then, boom, there's the grace. You know, it just gets poured out to you. So, the purpose of having this in Romans chapter 12 is so that we know where to start. And how you normally people have a long suit, and you can see yourself doing some of these things, and then start to look at other people and see what their lives are like. And then we'll get a better idea of how it functions. But just remember, not only that it's about grace being poured out, but it's also that you can do all of these functions. And the purpose is for the edifying of the body of Christ. And where we come together and we say, I am willing to be any kind of cell. I want to be the cell that the body needs. I don't really care what the name of it is. I don't care what you call it. If I need to exhort, I want to be able to exhort. If I need to comfort, I want to be able to comfort. If I need to serve, I want to be the one saying, yes, I'll take out the trash. I don't care what it is. If our desire is to build up the body of Christ, then we will start functioning like all of this. And it will be fit together as God shows it to be. Now after we have break for lunch, then Trish is going to come up and she's going to talk about Jesus Christ, the head of the body, and how it functions where he's the head and we're the members. And so how this all works together. God bless you. Thank you.